Blog Talk Radio.
Atlanta. But you know what? I just want to say good morning, Father God. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. And good morning, Taylor. And I was going to pray this prayer this morning. It's interesting about interference. I'm still going to pray it because if I did not download a virus on my laptop, I really hope I didn't. But Father God, I want to thank you for being such a good instructor. You see, I Okay, let me put it this way. You all know that I'm right in the middle of a transition. I mean, smack dab in the middle. But I also know that there's a real devil. And a real devil does real things to real people in an attempt to stop or hinder. So what God was showing me this morning, he said, I told you about this storm. And he did. Remember when he gave me, see, I've got to learn. And remember, I tell you, I'm in a learning process with you. But when God put you in a new place in him to learn how he does things all over again, because even although he doesn't change what you've been operating in and through up to that point, but what he's doing, he's giving you more, and he's showing you, if you can receive it, how to operate in the more or in the newness. Remember, he talks about newness of life. So this morning, I went to check my computer. I only have my laptop and my iPad and my phone with me. But I knew, I understood that God was had me in a new place, and he was had me in a test. And God's tests are always about faithfulness. And they're always about explain something to you that I found out in this walk yesterday, this morning, really. Father God, in the name of Jesus this morning, I ask you for comfort in the heart. I ask you for sanctifying peace. And I ask you, God, in the name of Jesus, to help me as well as the men and women of God, to walk worthy unto all pleasing of you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you to let me and us be filled with all wisdom and spiritual understanding according to your word. And Lord God, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you to let us be filled to overflowing with the knowledge of your will. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you to let me and let us be fruitful in every good work. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you to let me and let us increase in the understanding and the knowledge of you and your ways. Strengthen us with all of your might this morning, by the power of your own Holy Spirit in our inner man. And in the name of Jesus, Father God, let Jesus dwell in our hearts by faith. And let us be rooted and grounded in real love. Help us to comprehend with the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of your love, Lord Jesus. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, let your word have free course and be glorified within us. Let your peace give us peace in all areas of life, as you increase our faith. Let our bodies, Lord God, be strong and healthy, Father God, and let our soul be preserved blameless unto the coming of you, Lord Jesus. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you this morning, perfect what is lacking in our faith. Perfect your good work in us. Make us perfect unto your good work. Enrich us in all utterances and in all knowledge, things this morning, by the power of your Holy Spirit. And I'm asking you to let the grace, your grace, Lord Jesus, be with us permanently and perpetually. Brothers and sisters, John, please excuse me. John chapter 6, verse 63 says, speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. In John 14:10, Jesus said, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. John 15:3 says, now cling through the word which I have spoken unto you. And then I'm looking in one of my notebooks. Actually, it's one of the three ring binders that I was putting together for the people on the deadline and still going to send them out. But these words hit me in the face. There is something hidden within you that does not want you to succeed. There is something hidden within you that does not want you saved, healed, delivered, restored, and prospering. So the Holy Ghost said, remember, Erica, your mission, destroying hidden darkness. And I said, yeah. He said, now there's something hidden here, and you're not seeing it. And the reason you're not seeing it is the same reason that people don't see it. And I said, well, what could that be to myself, you know? I was talking to myself. And I said, what could that be, I wonder? So I just prayed. And the Lord said, remember years ago? I said, yeah. He said, remember when that lady prayed for you that time? I said, which lady, God, which time? He said, the lady that had all those familiar spirits and transferred those familiar spirits, and it took you 2 months to pray them off. I said, God, yeah, I do. He said, well, you're not looking. And I said, okay. He said, the first thing, I warned you about the storm. He said, in Jeremiah, when I took you to Jeremiah 51, he said, I told you about, and I gave you the word, mere men. I said, okay. He said, and you looked it up. He said, but you did not research it to the depth that I wanted you to. And I said, yeah. He said, because somebody told you that Dr. Pat Holliday had a book on the, and then somebody else sent you a YouTube, and you just let it go. He said, but I was telling you that they're stirred up. And you're going to have to be a lot more cognizant of the things I'm telling you from now on. He said, because I warned you that this storm was coming. And I warned you that there was going to be collateral damage. I said, what? He said, I warned you that there was going to be collateral damage. I said, okay. I hope I still have you. Did I lose you on the 10 line? I can't see. I just can't see what's happening. But anyway, it doesn't matter. I have to walk. I have to walk blindly if I have to on this. He said, I warned you there was going to be collateral damage. And I said to myself, collateral damage. What does that mean? So I'm going to do it right now. Right now I'm going to try to find out. He said, I have you at a point where I'm going to reveal future and present because the past is behind you and I've already taken care of that. So you're not to walk in the past. Your objective has got to be, one, I'm showing you what's happening now, because collateral damage, I found out, brothers and sisters, in a general term, is for death, injuries, or damage inflicted on an unintended target. It's a military term, I think. It's used for the incidental killing or wounding of non-combatants or damage to non-combatant property during an attack on a legitimate military target. So I said, okay. He said, where you are now, you've never been before, and you're going to have to be very aware, not from a past perspective, but from what's happening now for what is about to happen. So I didn't look into it any further. I stopped there because I had read about the Marine Kingdom and I knew about the spirits, but I didn't know that God was giving me Jeremiah to prevent collateral damage. So on my little merry, happy way, I went on and went on up there, came on back, stopped by the oil. And you know what else? God gave me a revelation about the, not revelation, understanding about the oil. And I think that Reggie, who I know I saw it, Reggie got some video from Mr. In the video that she videotaped, he's talking about the oil. And God was saying to me, did you see? Listen carefully, Tedline. When I went to see the oil the first time, it was about 6 inches of oil in that container. The second time I saw it, it was more. It was just covering the oil. But this time, it was almost three quarters full, and the Bible was resting in the bottom of that oil. And so the Lord said, "What'd you see?" And I told him what I saw, and what amazed me was that every time I saw the oil, it was in a different depth. And the Lord said, "This is how I pour out my power and my spirit. It's at different levels. It's never the same. It's less if you give out more, and then I'm going to increase you with more and more and more. If you don't give it out, it's going to stay at the same level that it is." I said, "Okay, I got that." And I began to really notice where that oil was each time I had seen it. And then the Lord said, "Erica, in my word," he said, "people heard I was going to be places." He said, "They did not go to a place above me or a place where I wasn't going to be and expect me to be there." So I knew what he was talking about that had been on my heart. And so I got that message too. But then I came here to stop on my way home. And I was wondering why God stopped me here. Well, again, that there is a real spirit warfare taking place, and that we can't escape it as spirit-filled believers, because he's the one that brings us into this spirit warfare. Because he said that he was going to build his church and that the gates of hell would not prevail against his church. But they still trying. The gates of hell still trying. And they have had thousands of years of practice. And then the Lord said, "Erica, who do demons manifest themselves through?" I said, "People." He said, "So if they manifest themselves against people, what do they build in people?" And I'm thinking, I said, "Well, the only thing that they could build, it would be a stronghold." He said, "That's right." And he said that the problem with a stronghold is that strongholds are formed within our soulish realm. And the soulish realm operates within our body and our soul. And I already knew that it was a fortified value system. A stronghold is a fortified, strengthened value system that's not very easily to be pulled down. But strongholds have to be pulled down. And he said, "You're going to have to begin to understand this conflict. And you're going to have to look at it in a way I'm going to show you." He said, "It's between demonic values and Christian values. Christian is a child of God." I said, "Yeah, okay." And every Christian has a manner of love that the Father bestows upon us. And I was thinking, because I knew that was 1 John 3:1. And 1 John 3:1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." He said, the world doesn't recognize us, children of God, seriously. And some of us don't recognize who we are seriously. I said, what you mean? He said, we enjoy the dignity of sons of God, the dignity. And the same way he stressed that word collateral damage, he stressed that word dignity of sons of God. And then I looked at Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. It says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. I looked that thing up in the message. It says, now you have arrived at your destination. By faith in Christ, you are in direct relationship with God. Baptism in Christ was not just washing you up for a fresh start. It also involved dressing you in an adult faith wardrobe, Christ-like. You have now become the fulfillment of God's original promise because you sons. And because you sons, I went over to Galatians chapter 4. Because you sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts. Pondering, I'm thinking about all this stuff. And so God said, you missed something. And you missed it because you didn't want to see it. But it's the same thing. It's the same thing that I brought you out of years ago. And I said, uh-oh. I saw it. Plain as day, I saw it. I saw it, brothers and sisters. I saw it. You see, Philippians chapter 3 says, assure thus of our citizenship in heaven. He assures us of that. And he wants us to walk and live, and I said it before, and demonstrate the whole world. To demonstrate to the whole world himself. You see, brothers and sisters, on this here little journey I've been on just recently, it has been one of the most profound experiences I've had in a long time. It has been brutal. It's been brutal. And so you say, well, why has it been brutal? It's just been brutal. Because, number one, I left home. I left the comfort of my home, going somewhere where, number one, people didn't, they didn't really know me, and I didn't know them. So that meant there was a whole, I'm used to that, though. I'm used to walking into new territory with Jesus. But I'm not, and I'm used to having people around me, but I'm not used to having to fight the spirits I'm fighting, and then being out here having to deal with the spirits I'm fighting and the people that are with me who are fighting their own battle, and I'm surrounded by that. And then I go, before I can get out of one, I go right into another one. It's been a long time since I had seen and been in, listen to me carefully, an atmosphere of soulish realm power. It's been a long time since I had seen it in operation, because I've been so involved with my own ministry and growing. I've got to be certain, as I'm saying this to you, I'm saying this with all honor and all praise and all glory and all respect unto God, because I understand that as an ambassador for God, that I'm sent to carry and advance the values of my King, Jesus, and his kingdom. And the nature of Christ's church is apostolic, based on the apostles' doctrine. But I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. I know it might sound like I'm talking, because I'm coming from a lot of different fronts this morning. And I couldn't even get on speaker only because of this, messing something up. But this is the thing that the Lord laid on my heart, had me, that he sent Jesus for us, and he sent the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, for us, and now he's sending us for himself. You get that? He sent Jesus for us. He sent his Holy Spirit for us, and now he's sending us for himself. So God sent Jesus to us. God sent his Holy Spirit to us. And now he's sending us to others. Is that he wants us to bring these people that he's sending us to as ambassadors to him. And he's showing me that they're not going to be able to come to him outside of peace. You see, there's nothing more disturbing to a man or a woman, especially a man or a woman of God, is to be in a position where you don't have peace. And this is why. When God breathed, remember after Jesus was resurrected, he breathed on them disciples the same way he breathed on Adam in the beginning. Only this time, when Jesus breathed into them, he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. And they did. But they didn't get baptized in the Holy Spirit until the day of Pentecost. So what did they receive that day when Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit? They received, brothers and sisters, the peace of God that would allow them to receive the presence of God. Because, and then, and from that moment on, they went on and they received the presence of God. But first you got to have the peace of God abiding in you. And then peace of God allows you to receive the presence of God. And basically, what deliverance does, it gets every peace-breaking spirit out of you. And then you're able to receive the peace of God. As an example, when you first receive Jesus, when you first became born again, if you can go back and remember how you felt when you first became born again. Somebody text me and let me know you still can hear me. Because the enemy definitely does not want you to get this. You were happy. You were joyful. But what you had and you really didn't realize it, some people do, and they maintain it. You had peace. But it was a peace that was beyond understanding. It was a peace that you couldn't even really tell people what it was. But what it was is you had that peace of God passes all understanding. And it allowed you to receive from God so easy. So easy. But because you didn't understand it, but you felt it and you knew it, you had that knowing of God that brings you into that peace of God. And that peace of God that allows you to receive from God. I watched a lot of people last night, not a lot, but quite a few. And I listened to some testimonies of people raised from the dead, and people, some of them were very heart-wrenching, and some of them were very good and exciting. God had a purpose to bring people in the expectation of himself to the peace of himself. Because when God says you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, he's talking about something happening on the inside that affects you on the outside. Because you see, when you accepted Jesus and you became born again, you became a new citizen of a new kingdom that operates in a new way in which you did not understand. So then the Spirit observing this stuff began to devise a plan so that you would never understand, so that he could keep you as far away from the standards that make up the citizenship of that new kingdom that you're in. You see, standards are values, and the kingdom of God has kingdom values. Values are beliefs. That's all values really are, beliefs. their beliefs either for or against something, because values reflect a person's sense of right or wrong. Values influence a person's behavior. And values can be seen by what people and societies celebrate, what they celebrate, what they fund. Psalm 139:2-4. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Altogether. God, brothers and sisters, bases your place in his kingdom. I could even say you place your place in his kingdom by the amount of value you place upon him, by the amount of value you place upon your relationship with him, and by the amount of value kingdom relationship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. So the spirit in the spirit warfare is always trying to get us to keep that upside down, topsy-turvy, and out of peace. And out of peace. Because it is the peace of God that allows you to experience the acceleration in God. Proverbs says, every purpose is established with good advice. Make war. Brothers and sisters, you see, in Galatians 1:4, it says, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us, present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. The enemy of your soul and my soul does not care what he has to do to keep us contained, bound up in this evil world. But Jesus said in John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, in the world's eyes, in the world's ways, and in the soulish realm functioning of the world, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to be led into tribulation. You're going to be tested through tribulation. It's going to be little tribulation, big tribulation, strong tribulation, weak tribulation. But Jesus said, glory to God forever, ever, ever, ever. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Yep. Yes, brothers and sisters, Jesus overcame this world. Jesus overcame this present darkness. And so can we. So can we. As a matter of fact, we must. Jesus conquered this world. God gave us Jesus in the manifestation of the word of God, brothers and sisters, and we can conquer this world too. His word cuts through everything. Everything. Nothing and no one is impervious to God's word. We can't get away from it. Jesus gave us the power of the Holy Spirit, which is God's own Holy Spirit, which is God himself, to overcome this world, where we understand that timing is the Father's business. It's the Father's business. But in the Father's business, he has given us his Holy Spirit, his authority, and his power over all evil. The thing is, Jesus saw Satan fall in Luke chapter 10. Jesus saw Satan fall. And then he said, look at what I've given you. Look at what I've given you. Nobody can put a hand on you. He said, but don't relish that. Don't relish yourself in that. It's not what we do for God, but what God does for us that we need to be rejoicing about. And we don't have to barter. We don't have to. I think I always thought like, okay, I'm going to do this for God, you know, and God's going to reward me for it and bless me for it. He gonna bless me if I don't. Because the moment I became born again, I became blessed. But you see, these evil spirits that are the spiritual enemies of our soul and our body, that are in the employ of Satan the devil, these spirits can and do unloose by spiritual means the ways of themselves. They unloose the ways of themselves through spirits just like themselves, with evil spiritual hidden things in operation, in opposition to God's best for our lives. If you belong to God, you got to understand, and you got to begin to understand that for whatever these tribulations are, for whatever reason that God has allowed them, and in some cases permitted them to come close to you, God has allowed that. He's permitted it. Why? Because you will either have been or are being personally built up in the faith, and you are personally being tried by the enemy to weaken your faith and get you away from your obedience to God. Why? So that you will never be able to possess God's covenantal promises and blessings. Understand something this morning. These hidden things of darkness that the devil's been using against you and has been using against your family line, and they're not easily recognized. They're not. Because they can be so deeply hidden within the soul and many times within the physical body. They could have been there so long. I mean, centuries. Spirits. Familiar spirits. That they can't even be distinguished from the human spirit, so they want to bring you into using reasoning and using intellect. Why? Because the people and or persons that these spirits inhabit have been and are being tricked into accepting this hidden spiritual bondage that has been accomplished against them, working through the utilization of evil spirits, devils, and demons that the devil uses. You see these evil spirits that the devil uses? They come in various strengths, and they come in various types. But the one thing you must understand is that they're hidden and that they are the enemy of your soul and your body, and that they are the enemies of the soul and the body of every living human being. Devils, demons, and evil human spirits that the devil is using, they all have specific destructive inclinations, and their purpose is to lodge themselves, hear me this morning, to lodge themselves within the heart, the mind, the will, the emotions, and the intellect of any person, and then reveal themselves within the human spirit, within the soul or the body, with a directive of spiritual bondage, not only to that person, but to their family line and to their destiny. Spiritual bondage unloosed and fortified through value systems that are slightly under the radar, but they have a directive. Their directive is to oppress you through hidden oppression, through hidden things, through hidden tactics within your human spirit, not your regenerated Holy Spirit, but within your human spirit, within your soul, and within your body. And their job is to work against you while keeping you completely unaware. They use forces, they use power, they use especially manipulation, they use domination, they use control, they use what? Witchcraft. But because the spiritual bondage that I'm talking about is released through demonic influence, demonic infestation, demonic oppression, all coming from evil demon spirits' ability to demonically, spiritually influence a person with evil designs, bringing them into demonic subjection of how demonic spirits and demons inflict sickness, diseases, curses, misery, pain, and poverty, causing people to lose, have losses. And that's why they must be discerned. They must be dealt with. And that's why God has already given you spiritual authority and power. God has already equipped you by the power of his Holy Spirit. God has already told you to cast those spirits out. And you know what God said? God said, cast those spirits out and heal all manners of sickness. God knows demons and evil spirits exist. God understands that demons possess, influence, crazy, make people disoriented. That's why he had to give you that power. He had to, because if not, what kind of father would set their children up for disaster? It doesn't work like that. And so it took me all of this to get a new directive and a renewed battle plan, a renewed ability to see how the devil is damaging people. And let me tell you something else. Please understand this. Please. He doesn't change. The only thing that changes are his methods. I'm talking about the enemy. And it is not one enemy. You have one fallen angel who became a manifestation, the original shapeshifter, the original spreader of multiple personality disorder, the king of multiple personality disorder, the king of identity disassociation, Satan, Lucifer. See, it's important that we can see in the Bible where this stuff starts from. That's why I do so much research, so much studying, so much recording, so I can go back and look at it. Because Jesus taught us when these unclean, vexing, harassing, tormenting, or demonizing spirits are cast out of people, that the kingdom of God is manifesting. Jesus said, but if I, with the finger of God, not even his whole body, not even his whole self, he said, but with my finger, I with my finger, which translated, not the finger of man, because the finger of man becomes the finger of God when it is used in the purposes and the plans of God, backed by and really the purpose of God in front of that finger. But Jesus said, but if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt, the kingdom of God has come upon you. That's Luke chapter 11, verse 20. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt, the kingdom of God has come upon you. The kingdom of God has come upon you. God said deliverance is the children's bread. We got to have what the early church had. You have been given spiritual authority, not only to cast out demons, but to heal the sick. You got to use your authority, just like the early disciples did, just like the early church fathers did. And listen to this. Jesus went to church and cast the unclean spirit out of a man. And what did the people in the church say? For with authority commanded he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. The Bible says, and immediately his fame, he became famous. And immediately the Son of Man's fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. The Bible says they were all amazed, that they questioned among themselves, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commanded he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And his fame spread abroad. It's time for you to use to make Jesus famous. You see, the scripture shows us it was the ministry of deliverance launched. It was the ministry of deliverance. It was the eradication of the kingdom of darkness. It was the dispelling of the demons assigned to keep us in this present world in darkness. But the scripture says that the ministry of dispelling this darkness launched Christ's fame immediately. You see, brothers and sisters, Jesus didn't waste any time flowing in the power of God's Holy Spirit. After the Spirit of God came on him at the River Jordan, there was a transition that took place. A change took place. The ordinary Son of Man became the supernatural manifestation of what he first was on earth, as it is in heaven. And then the Bible says he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. During this baptism of Jesus, the Bible says the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And God said, this is my beloved Son, hear him. God is saying to you this morning, Son, our beloved daughter, hear him, and then repeat what you hear him say. I went a little bit over my time this morning. Unclean means morally corrupted, sexually perverted, the base, lustful, lewd. Jesus rebuked it, cast it out. In other words, Jesus told that unclean spirit to shut up and come out of the man. And guess what? The spirit obeys. I know you're going through something. You're going to have to tell that spirit to shut up and get out. And you're going to have to mean it. You're going to have to mean it. It doesn't matter whether you say it in a whisper. It doesn't matter whether you think it in a thought. Because God said, I know the plans I have for you. I know the plans I have for you. Brothers and sisters, demons are liars. They're professional liars. And they've lied so well for so long that they've lost their capacity for the truth. They're liars. Everything God created is good and to be received with thankfulness. God's word, brothers and sisters, through our prayers, make every item holy. Holy. So, think on this scripture. When the Holy Ghost anointing falls, so do blessings, miracles, breakthroughs, demonic confrontation. You hear me? When the Holy Ghost anointing falls, what falls with it is blessings, miracles, breakthroughs. But what else falls with it is demonic confrontations. This morning, I guess I'm coming full circle. And I guess I'm having to understand that when I first got saved way back there then, there was a lot of faith, but there was a lot of soulless realm power in manifestation and in operation. And that's what ruined the old church. That's what ruined every move of God. Every move of God was ruined by soulless realm manifestations. I'm going to talk more on this and teach more on it when I get home. So that's what Jesus meant, brothers and sisters, when Jesus said, how can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan revolts up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand either. That's what it means. That's what it means. A lot of us are ready through soulless realm power. And you have to know God to be able to discern the difference. It's very, very closely related. And I really had to go through something. I really had to go through something to get this. I really had to see it in manifestation again. I really had to see it in operation to understand it and be refreshed. Because see, when you be in God a long time, you learn stuff and you take stuff for granted. At least I did. I can't talk about nobody else. As the way it is, but that's not the way it is for everybody. Let me explain this real quickly before I get off this morning. Wherever you are in Christ right now, stop expecting everybody to understand where you are. Wherever you are in Christ right now, stop automatically know where you are. And number one, number two, don't expect an unbeliever to understand the things that only a believer has been enlightened to know and understand. They don't. They don't. I don't care how good it might appear to be. The Bible says that spiritual things are spiritually discerned. That means don't expect anybody to prove all things, test all things with the Word of God. And I want some of you to wake up and see where you are. I want some of you to wake up, and see where you are. And see that you might be, because I know I'm talking to a lot of people, and I'm talking to a lot of people in different countries and everything. You might be where you are by yourself. Don't expect nobody else to see what you see, hear what you hear, understand what you understand, and know what you know. But be instrumental, initiating a learning curve. Don't take nothing for granted that they know where you're coming from, because people mistakenly lie. They don't lie because they want to. They lie because the truth that they're believing is a lie. I'm learning these things, and it's glorious. And I'm going to teach you more about the soulless realm power, because you got to understand that. You got to understand it. I didn't teach much on it because I got away from it. I escaped. I escaped it, but I know it and I recognize it, and I just like got away from it. But let me tell you something. Most of what you see in manifestation today is soulless realm power. And it is alive and well and kicking. Well, listen, I got to go. It's offering time today. If any of you can send me an offering, I'd appreciate it. Those of you that have never given to this ministry, it would be helpful to me. At this time, I want to finish up this thing I'm sitting here to learn. I would like to finish it up. So if any of you could send me an offering today, and if you could put it on my PayPal, I'd appreciate it. I know some of you are going through some really growth pains. God got your back. That's why he never created any armor for your back. He got your back, just like he got my back. The storm is heading toward South Carolina, so I'm going to just stay put one more day. Blood warning in Greenville, South Carolina. That's way away from me, but I just don't want to be on the highway. I just don't want to be on the highway until the storm is abated. And you know what? I don't want to be on the highway until the storm is abated anyway in the spirit realm. I got to get this. The Bible says if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan revolt against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath the end. God is teaching us how to win, brothers and sisters. God is teaching us how to win. And Greg, I know you're on here. I know you're in Arizona right now. But I got your text. Don't worry about anything in New Mexico, because we're coming into New Mexico either way. You're just in there right now, like Joshua and Caleb. You're laying down the firm foundation. As we're coming into Arizona and New Mexico and many other cities in this USA. Because this present darkness is going to be dispelled with the light and the glory and the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And wherever, whatever place that the enemies of our souls are hiding, they're coming out. They're coming out in Jesus' name. So listen to me this morning. Probably be back on Spreaker a little bit later. So watch it as soon as I straighten out this equipment. Because I'm telling you, I don't know where I was yesterday, but I'm not there today. I don't even know where I was last night, but I'm not there today. I'm talking about in Christ. I don't know where you were, but if you're under the sound of this 10-line ministry, you're not where you were yesterday. Because as the priest, so are the people. And believe me, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to learn this new level God has me on, and I'm going to operate on this level, and I'm going to see more people saved, healed, delivered, and restored and transformed by the word of God than I've ever seen before in my life. And then I'm going to leave here and go on and be with Jesus. Brothers and sisters, thank you for joining me on the TED line this morning. If the Lord tells you I ain't offering you nothing, I'm just saying to send me an offering and help me stay out here a couple more days and go home filled with the knowledge and the revelation that I've got to operate on, operate through for 5779. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to thank God. Believe me. Believe the word of God. Don't believe me, but I'm the messenger at this moment. You're not where you were, but you're not where you're going to be. I'm not where I was, but I'm not where I'm going to be. But we as the people of God are pressing towards the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus, which is more of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I'll see you tomorrow on this headline. Pray for me out here. Pray for me, because I'm going home in Jesus' name. See you tomorrow on the headline.